before Dan preaches the word, I'd like to word of prayer. Father, we're thankful for the beautiful day that you've blessed us together, and Father, for this experience we're about to share, the feasting of your word, Father. We pray that you'll bless Dan as he breaks this bread of life onto us, that you will give him strength, Father. He is your harbinger, Father, and we ask that you speak through him, that you give him strength, Father, to be your messenger today, to be your servant. We know this is what is on his heart, Father, and we thank you for that, and ask, Father, that through the preaching of your word today, that we will feel your presence, Father. We thank you for Dan's faith, for his strength, Father, and for his confidence in you. And we ask this blessing on him in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you. I had shared with Rudy a little bit of difficulty that I've had this week, and I asked him to say a special prayer for me, and didn't know you're going to come up and do it up here, but I like it. You know, God has a way of doing things. He does things in His way and in His time. We just sang, "Faith is the victory." Where are you at, Kirk? You didn't pick that song, just in case you don't know. God had that song laid out a long time ahead of your choosing. I want to share with you, we're not going to be in Daniel this morning because there's something on my heart that I'd like to share with you. And I'd like to begin by asking you a simple question. Do you believe in God? Now let me ask you if you trust Him. It's two different, very, very different questions. There was a tightrope walker in Paris who did incredibly daring feats at great heights above the ground. This guy would walk between buildings on a tightrope. He would go over and then he would put on a blindfold and walk back. And when he got back across blindfolded, he would get a wheelbarrow and go back across blindfolded, pushing a wheelbarrow across the tightrope. Now, there was an American promoter of whatever nature that decided that that was just too incredible to believe. So he wrote the man a letter, and he said, he called him Tightrope, I don't know his name. He said, "Tightrope," he said, "I don't think you can do this. We hear great tales of your success, but we've not seen it, and we don't believe that you can do it. But if you can do it, we'd like to invite you to come to Niagara Falls, and we'll stretch a rope across the most treacherous part of the falls, and there you can display your ability for the American public." Well, Tightrope wrote the promoter back, and he said, "I haven't been to America lately. I'd be glad to come." So he showed up at Niagara Falls. There was a lot of promotion that went into that great event. A lot of people show up anytime somebody has the possibility of getting hurt. People show up, you know, kind of like Evel Knievel jumping the Grand Canyon, you know. The guy started on the Canadian side, Tightrope did. And he walked across a swaying rope above the falls. When he got to that side, he says, "Mr. Promoter," he says, "what do you think now?" He said, "Well," he said, you can definitely do it." He said, "No," he says, "do you really believe I can do it?" He says, "I know you can do it. I just saw you do it." He said, "No," he says, "what I want to know is if you really, really believe it." He said, "Look, fella, you just did it. I believe you can do it." He said, "Good, get in the wheelbarrow." I was thinking about James chapter 1, verses 2 through 3, my mind has kind of been thinking about a lot of tragedies that have happened over the past few years, a lot of hardships in your lives. We have walked to more than one graveside together in the past few years. We've embraced each other as hurts come along in our lives. As some of us find out we have cancer, we walked a lot of hard roads together. And I'm under the idea that there will be a lot more hard roads to walk. Some roads that we don't think we can stomach. Some roads that will try our faith and incline us to stay out of the wheelbarrow even when Jesus is pushing the wheelbarrow. James chapter 1 verse 2 says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing." Church, let me tell you something. When times get hard in our lives, our faith comes under a test. And let me tell you something. When the road gets really hard and really weary, Satan is there trying to chop your faith down, trying to keep you out of that wheelbarrow. It's not if hard times will come, church. It is when hard times will come. Because they will. If you are a Christian, Satan will try to tear you away from the Lord. It will happen. So as I thought about this, I thought about faith. And I got to thinking about the idea that there's really two ways that our brotherhood likes to look at faith, okay? Our brotherhood, and me in particular too, I love to think of faith in the Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 context. Differentiating the Greek words, faith is the evidence of things hoped for. That's what I like that word evidence, because you see, when we talk about faith, when we talk about believing in God, I want to see what it is I'm believing in. But there's another part to faith that Paul talks about in, I haven't written a sermon, so if I got to stop and look for a verse, you'll have to just bear with me a second. Yeah. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 that we walk by faith and not by sight. I'm pretty mechanical in nature. Give me something that's mechanically broken, I can fix it. Guaranteed. I'm mechanical. I like to see things in a mechanical way. So that presents me a great challenge as a Christian. When faith has evidence, but faith is something that you can't see at the same time. God says to us, through the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says, "Look, folks, I want you to get real and I want you to get serious with me. I want you to close your eyes and get in the wheelbarrow." Church, I am afraid to do that. I have struggled with that my whole life. To get the trust in myself, my job, my friends, all those things that surround me. Get to putting my trust in the wrong place. And I thought to myself, you know what? This is real stuff. I think about some of the struggles that people had in Scripture. And I think particularly of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says, look at the struggles that I had, and he does it this way, he just says it, and I'm going to just read some of this. Five times, Paul says, I received from the Jews 39 lashes. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger of my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, danger in the city, dangers in the wilderness, danger on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights and hunger and thirst, often without food and cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there's the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. Who is weak without being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern? If I have to boast, I will boast of what pertains to my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, He who is blessed forever, knows that I'm not lying. I listened to what Paul was saying, and you know what? Paul said, I've had some pretty hard times. Let me tell you what, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're going to have hard times. If you're going to go around promoting the idea of Jesus, you're going to have some difficult times. Paul had some horrible times. I think about what his family must have endured as he tried to proclaim the truth of God's Word. I think about the loneliness that he must have felt. I think about the heart-wrenching hurt in his heart as he was concerned for the brotherhood. Church, that's us on some occasions. I think about Job. Didn't Job have some things hard? Why did Job have some things hard? Because circumstances in life just presented themselves as such? Absolutely not. Was Job just a member of happenstance? No, Job was tested by God. Now this hurts, and it's hard for me to figure out, but God allows hard things to happen in our lives because He loves us. And you know what one of the biggest detriments to our Christianity is? When we don't understand what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 8, that we are more than conquerors, and that God can do works all things together for the good for us that love the Lord. When we don't understand that, when we forget that, church, we buy into the fact that we're a victim. And when we're a victim, Satan has a foothold in our heart. And let me tell you what, if we, the church, are victims, Satan has won. We are not victims. God has not made a single victim on the face of this planet. So if you wrestle around in the muck and the mire of self-pity and self-sorrow, which is a tendency for all of us at certain times, isn't it? Especially when things are going downhill, when things are in the worst potential place, when you got bills to pay and you can't pay them, when you don't have a job and you need a job, when you have marital problems, when you've got problems at work, when all of these things come up, are you going to get in the wheelbarrow? I like to steer my own wheelbarrow. And it seems like a constant thing for me to have to work at it. It doesn't come natural for me to get in the wheelbarrow and let Jesus push. Every week, Every day, every month, every year, I'm having to remind myself, let Jesus push. Give Him the glory. He can do all things. He can do that which is impossible, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Our God is a God of impossibilities, and you know what my idea is, church? We need to start believing it. Okay, now that I said that, what else was I going to say? I think that's what I have to say. How's that for short? I'm concerned about every one of you. Concerned about myself too. But we have a great big God. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. It's our hope in the Lord. It's our faith. It's our trust in Him. To see with the spiritual eyes and close the physical eyes. Maybe, not maybe, I know for sure that there's people here this morning that need to engage God on a deeper level. I know that. My heart aches because I know it. My heart aches because we're going to sing an invitation song and you won't come forward. Some of you might, but some of you will hold on, not quite ready to share your life with others. Why don't you just give all that up today? Nobody cares about what's in your closet except to help you get rid of it. Amen? We got a bucket of paint and we can paint your closet. You want to come up here today? We'll go get a paintbrush and start working on it today. The invitation is yours, and I don't know what that means. But the invitation is yours, and I'd invite you to come as we stand and sing.